1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35. While you're turning there, I got to testify just a little bit. This day, July the 26th, a year ago, 2025, is the day that I got the chemicals in my eyes and got chemical burns. And thank the Lord, I can see. I was blind, but now I see. 14 days of total blindness. But God's showed me mercy, Brother Dave. And I can see my eye waters. That's why I carry a rag around with me to catch the drippings. But it's, I can see. And it's all right. But I looked on the calendar this morning, and as joy filled my soul, it could have been a whole lot different. But God in His mercy. Verse 35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Paul is addressing an issue here that I think is probably still an issue today. We have questions about the afterlife, and really he gives us two questions he has here, but really they're basically the same question. And he's dealing with the church there at Corinth. There are three different types of beliefs concerning the dead that he's dealing with. We have the Gnostics, if you will, that believe that they believed in the resurrection or that there was an immortal body. They believed that everything was in a spiritual realm, and that was all that there was to it. And then we find out that the Sadducees, we know a little bit about what they believe, because in Acts chapter 23 and verse 8, he says, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. The Pharisees, they did believe the resurrection, but they believed it just a little bit differently than what I do. And I don't know, maybe you may believe it differently than I do also. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about the way I believe it based on Scripture this morning. They're asking two questions. How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? I'd kind of like to know that, would you? I mean, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever and ever. I'd kind of like to know what I'm getting into. Hey, he tells us here let's look on here in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, now listen to this, not that body shall be, but bare grain. He's given it an instance here. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. In other words, he's saying there's heavenly bodies and there's spiritual bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and I talked about this last Sunday, if you'll remember. I believe that our heavenly body will be a supernatural body. We can travel at the speed of a thought. You remember Jesus when he was in the room, and he was there 1 minute. But prior to that, he was walking onto the road to Emmaus. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us? They turned around and he was gone. There will be no restrictions with time or space. He goes on here to tell us, as so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As it is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As in the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall, what's he say here? All be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Paul is saying here that if we do not believe, there were some that said that Jesus Christ had not even risen. If we don't believe in the resurrection of Christ and that Christ rose from the dead, why are we even here? But I believe that there is life after death. The spiritual body is not the same as the physical body. But it is the same. I hope you'll let me try to explain. That's what Paul was really saying here. He said that we'll be known as we're known. Well, we're going to have a heavenly body, but it's going to be the same, but it's going to be different. You know, Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us that then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The body is a picture of someone that is asleep. You walk by a casket at a funeral, and I'll stand up here by the casket, usually at the head of the casket, and I'll hear them say that they just look so peaceful. It looks just like they're asleep. Well, they are. They're asleep for a period of time. That body is asleep. You know, one of the things that I get asked a lot, and I'm sure you probably do too, and that is, what about cremation?
Brother Virgil, have you ever been asked that question? Multiple times. It's something that comes up often. And you know, I'm not here to persuade you one way or the other. If you've got your mindset and that's the way you want it, I'm not here to interfere with that at all. But the church really, the early church, started having Christian burials. For one, because the Romans done it a different way. The Romans would leave a person hanging, a criminal hanging on a cross, a crucifixion, if you will. They would leave them hanging there as a deterrent until there was no remains left hanging. But you say, what about Jesus? Because of Jewish custom and traditions, they allowed him, the Jews, to place him in a borrowed tomb. They also sometimes would take a body. And I don't mean to gross anybody out here, but they would take a body and they would lay it out on a bench until the body completely decomposed. And then they would take the bones of the skeletal remains and put it in a box. If you was wealthy enough, then you could have a tomb hewn out of the rock or a cave and a rock rolled in front of it to seal the entrance. That's why Jesus had a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea allowed him to have his for a proper burial. But what about the people that was in the Twin Towers on 9/11? Have you ever thought about that? What do they do with the bodies, the Christian people, the believers that was there? Most likely, whenever they hauled the dump truck loads of rubbish out to a landfill somewhere, they were scattered. What do you do about that? I'm making you think this morning. You know, we're going to have a new body. Well, which me is it going to be? Is it the me that's 16 years old and stupid? Is it the me that is, you know, 57 years old, soon to be 58? Some of you, I mean, do you want your 85-year-old body? Is that what you want? I mean, do I want the body pre-diabetes or post-diabetes? Do I want the body that aches and moans and pops and groans every time I get up in the morning? Or do I want the body that I used to have? I haven't always been this size. I was pushing over 200 pounds at one time, believe it or not. Do I want that body or I want this body? It brings up some good questions, don't it? If we're going to have a new body, what body are we going to have? Your body has changed over your lifetime. Now, I believe that you would agree with me this morning that God is the giver of life. I think that's scripture, isn't it? But Paul tells us in this text that God is the giver of bodies also. Isn't that what he says? It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If He's the giver of life, then I believe that we can assume that He is also the giver of a body. Well, how do we know what kind of a body He'll give us? You know, the first Adam had a conditional immortality. When he sinned, he no longer had immortality, but he took on mortality and he began to die. It won't be me, but it will be me. You know, Brother Bill, I used to love to go over here to Ulagal, across the Verdigris River, go down below that spillway and go down there and fish. Matter of fact, Mom and Dad would drop me off sometimes to go fishing while they was going shopping because I hated Walmart. No, I didn't hate. I love fishing that much. But you know something? That every drop of water that I fished in below Ulagal Dam and the Verdigris River, every drop of water is not there anymore. It's gone somewhere, but that still is the Verdigris River. Every time I go across it, it's still the Verdigris River. Not the same water that I fished in whenever I was just a young child, but it's still the same river. What kind of body will He give us? I want you to look at something with me. Psalms 139 and verse 14. Another very familiar passage of scriptures, but you may have not have thought at it, read it and thought about it in this context. He says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He's talking about whenever you was formed in your mother's belly. He knew you. And by the way, let's get this right. Conception, life begins at conception, not at birth. I'll preach that till the day I die. Life begins at conception. He knew us. He knew what we would be. He formed me just to be me. He has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. Now, we have our own free will, and sometimes we get a little bit sidetracked. Sometimes we do some stupid things. Sometimes we get chemicals in our eyes. Hey, that's not His fault. That was my fault. Sometimes we go out and we do some stupid things. I'm just going to say it's stupid. You call it whatever, you call it dumb, you can call it a mishap, or. But we make some bad choices, Brother Virgil. Sometimes we have to suffer the consequences of our actions. But He made every one of us with a purpose to serve and to worship Him. When He formed me in my mother's belly, He knew that someday that He would call me to pastor a church and to preach His gospel. I believe it was Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You come too late to tell me that He don't know what He's doing. He goes on there in Psalms 139. He says, thine eyes did see my substance. yet being imperfect. I was created, but I was created imperfect. This body that you see now has a sin nature. You know, you ever wonder why you take a young child? You don't have to teach them how to sin. You don't have to teach them how to do wrong. They know it all. Nobody has to show them how to. They'll figure it out. You have to teach them to do right. You have to teach them the difference between right and wrong. He said, and in thy book, all thy members were written. Did you catch that? He's got a heavenly record of your DNA. There's not, you know, I haven't seen another Denton Hubbard in my entire life. I've seen a lot of people. I've even seen some with the same name that I have. But Brother Dave, not a one of them act like me, and thank goodness they don't look like me. Every one of us are created differently. He said, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. That child that was born, he will live, he will die, and he will follow the sinful nature that is inside of them. But thank God there is a DNA that is stored up in heaven. I thought about, an illustration I'm going to give you this morning. I'm going to pick on Chris because I know I can. He loves me. I think he does. But if Chris and Kimber come to me and they said that if they went home today and at their house, and they don't have a house, so I can really pick on them. But if they went home and they said that their house that they don't have, they pulled up there and it is just it had burned to the ground, just a pile of rubble. And Brother Chris said, don't worry, Kimber. We will take and gather up these ashes and we'll build back and we'll have better than new. Kimber would look at him like he had lost his mind. How are you going to take ashes and make something new? You know God can. God can do it. If he's the giver of life, he's the giver of a body. There was a man that had a dream. And he, all through his life, he had been a collector. He collected gold. He loved wealth. And, you know, some people put their money in stock market. Some people put their money in 401, they invest in different things, but this man invested in, he wanted something tangible that he could hold on to. And he had a dream one night, and he dreamed that he had taken all of his gold and he had taken it to heaven, just handfuls of it. He got to heaven, and Jesus looked at him and said, what are you doing with that pavement? Think about it. What are you doing with that pavement? We pave streets up here with that. What are you doing with that? Our bodies. There's some that have been buried at sea. Some of them that have been eaten by wild beasts. These are all questions I've been, preacher, what do you do about that? Can I give you an answer this morning? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, familiar passage. It said, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, created in immortality." But you know the story. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge and good of evil. I want you to look here in verse number 17 of chapter 3. He said, "Unto Adam," he said, "because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it." Listen to this next phrase. "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." Not only was Adam and Eve driven out of the garden, immortality became mortality, and they began the process of dying. But the very dirt, the ground from which they came from the dust we came, the dust we shall return, that dust, that body that is laying there, that is in that grave, that is corrupted, is still going to be in corruption. You know, there's a phrase that occurs all throughout the New Testament. The disciples asked Christ about, "When shall the end of the world be?" Matthew chapter 24, he tells them that "I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Jesus talked about the end of the world. Revelation chapter 21, he talks about a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know what this new body is going to be made out of, but I believe I can stand here on the word of the Lord this morning and tell you confidently that it won't be made out of dirt. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know this, that if he can form a baby in the womb of a mother, special, no one else like him in the world, I'm confident that he's going to have me a new body. Amen. Heaven will be a beautiful place. I wasn't planning on going this far really this morning. I gave her some scriptures just in case. But I want to ask you this morning, how many times have you moved? Has anybody ever moved more than once in their lifetime? Did you know the average American will move 11.7 times in their life? You know, have y'all ever flipped through the channels and there's a channel on there? I try not to watch it, especially not in mixed company with my wife. But it's called HGTV. Have y'all ever seen that? That's got to be from the Antichrist. That channel is demonic. They'll show something on there and the wife will say, "Boy, that's a really neat ideal." I say, let's see what else is on. "Yo, I really like that. Did you see the color of that bathroom? We could do that here." Like she's got a mouse in her pocket. I think there's better things to watch. But I want you to look at this. Go to John chapter 14 and verse number 2. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He's building a mansion, and it's personal. There's not going to be any need to remodel. You know, there's not, and I think you would agree with me, there's not any two people can sit down and pick out a house plan that both of you like. The kitchen's too big for one, it's too small for the other. The living room, she likes a fireplace, you don't. I mean, I think that's probably pretty high up there on the list for the causes of divorce is building a new home. But he said, "I'm going to build a mansion. And you're going to have everything in it just like you like, the way you like, the color you like, and you're going to like it for all eternity." I'm preaching about heaven. That's the way it's going to be. It's the way it's going to be. He goes on to say in verse number 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Did you know something? When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life and make Him your personal Savior, the building project begins immediately. He says, "Father, I've got another child. I've got to build another." And I don't believe that these are cookie-cutter houses. He says, "I've got to build one for Brother Virgil. And I've got to build it with windows where he can see out. And where he sits at the table, he can sit with his back to the wall where he don't have a door facing him." You know, I could just imagine all the things that he's got, stipulations that he's got in Brother Virgil's house. And I'm sure I've got one with a lazy boy recliner. And I imagine Chris has one with an air conditioner that will freeze Eskimos. Are you getting it this morning? It will not only be a body that is perfect, but heaven is a perfect place. I preached long enough this morning. I want you to go with me. I want you to go to that place called heaven. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If not, there is a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't want you to go there. It wasn't made for you. I said two Sundays ago, it's the only place that I read in the Bible that Jesus did not build big enough. Scripture says, "For hell hath enlarged herself." If you go there, you'll go there as an intruder. But that wonderful place called heaven, I want you to go with me. Stand with me if you will. The altar's open. Maybe someone here this morning feels the need to pray. I hope maybe I've shed a little bit of light on what heaven will be like. Our heavenly bodies. Heaven and earth shall pass away, the scripture tells us. But his word. These bodies will go back to the dust from which they came. That dirt is cursed. And the thought run through my mind, if they're walking on streets of gold, what will our heavenly body be like? I think he gave that just for comparison. I can't imagine what it'll be like. John the Revelator tried to describe it. The Apostle Paul says, I don't have any words to tell you what I've seen. But I know this, it'll be amazing.